name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down your sleigh for just a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Frosty the Savitar. You know, I saw Joe West kissing Cecilia underneath the mistletoe last night.
That's right.
Holiday spirit, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm going to tell Michael Jackson's dad. I did see Joe West kissing Miss Cecilia. Well, you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show The Flash, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. And this week it's on the holiday timed episode. not themed. It wasn't the Christmas episode. It was just around the holidays. So,
well, but they kept saying Christmas, 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 you know, very non-denominational. Yeah,
that was just Wells. He was the only one that kept saying Christmas, 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 Christmas. But that's how he talks. That's just who he is.
I'm just going to get some mint tea and some coffee and go have a lay down.
So, you know what? This is the last episode for a while to talk about. And they had a interesting climactic tease for us at the end. But not really a cliffhanger so much. Just more of a foreshadowing cliffhanger, I guess. And so...
More of a forewarning, let's say. Not even foreshadowing, because, I mean, it was pretty straightforward. I mean, you know, future.
That's true. I guess that's not really foreshadowing when they show it to you, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you see, you know, I mean, especially when you got time travel and stuff like that. If you're seeing the future, there's no shadowing whatsoever.
Hey, you know, it's the holiday season. I'm busy. I have all my literary elements completely lined up, but it was a prediction of what might happen.
You've been knocking back Grandma Millie's nog.
That's
what
right.
You've been
doing. That's right. So. Yes, I had a whole third of a glass of that stuff. So,
a whole third of a glass.
All right. Well, you know, Frosty, I would like to hear a little bit about this episode so we know what we're going to be talking about. Run down a little piece of foreshadowing news for you, or forewarning news, however we want to label that, and then we'll get into talking about it.
All right, Josh, just chill.
All right.
All right. So this was episode 9 from season 3, The Present. Oh, that's a really humdinger of a title there. December 6, 2016 was the original air date. And as you mentioned, this was the mid-season/winter hiatus episode, with the story by Aaron and Todd Helbing, the teleplay by Lauren Certo, and returning director Rachel Talalay of Punisher Warzone fame, I believe. So, well, you know what? Believe it or not, Julian actually used to be Indiana Jones. I'm sorry. I promised myself I wouldn't laugh at that. After his sister died, he went searching for a relic that he believed would bring her back, but what he got was the Philosopher's Stone and a connection with Savitar. So when Barry runs out of ideas to find and stop both Alchemy and Savitar, he makes a trip to Earth 3 to get Jay Garrick's help. Okay, so together they distract the self-proclaimed speed god long enough to get the stone from Alchemy, sending Savitar away magically. Barry unmasks Alchemy to discover that Julian is indeed the creepy doctor, and they lock him away at Star Labs. But they need to get rid of the Philosopher's Stone so Savitar can't come back. Problem is, it's been calling to Cisco and making him see his dead brother, who tells him to reopen the protective box that keeps everyone safe. Because Julian doesn't remember himself being Savitar, the gang hooks up his brain and creates a walkie-talkie to their evil nemesis. That's very, very much like, what was that 80s movie, Brain Scan or something like that? That's what it kind of reminded me of.
Mm. Oh, that's kind of cool. I didn't even think about that. That's cool.
Yeah. They discover that Barry was really will really irritate him one day in the future, of course, and that makes him want to take revenge out on the Flash. I always hate that when people get mad at you for something you haven't even done yet.
That's true.
Jay instructs Barry to throw the stone into the Speed Force, which should be the end of Savitar, but when they do, Barry gets inadvertently thrown into the future just in time to see Iris die right in front of him. But he's not going to let that ruin his Christmas.
No way.
No way.
No. You turn that frown upside down. There'll be no sad faces on Christmas. You know, I was thinking that you would have to listen to our other show, Green Justice and Arrow podcast, for this, but how Barry's nemeses are like the opposite of Oliver's nemeses. You know, they don't like things that he's done in the past, but Barry's evil bad guys, they don't like things that Barry's done in the future.
Yeah. Oh, that is true. They do approach the problem from an entirely different angle, I guess.
This just occurred to me, man. We'll be talking about that on Green Justice later, so check that out this week as well. But
yeah.
All right, well, in the news, I just wanted to remind everybody that they are going to be taking a little break here for the holidays, and it will be returning with episode 10 in 7 weeks. That's on January 24th. Yeah, that's going to be a long break.
Yeah. That really is a long time.
Well, you know,
it's almost 2 months.
It is almost 2 months. For a lot of people, this period of the year, you know, goes by really fast. So maybe it won't seem like 7 weeks with everything else going on. You're going to have time to, you know, do Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmas Eve, what other
Boxing
holidays?
Day.
New Year's Eve, Boxing. Oh, wait a minute. I'm forgetting the most important holiday there is in December, opening of a Star Wars movie. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You've got stuff to do.
Oh, well, yeah, this is going to go real quick then.
Yeah, yeah. We'll, I mean, that's you have time that. To see that dozens of times in 7 weeks. So,
yeah.
But in the meantime, we need to talk about this episode so we have stuff to think about before they come back. So,
well, you know what they say, Josh? There's no time like the present.
That is what they say, especially when they give me a watch for Christmas. So.
Well, no, that's, is it a gold watch?
There's no present like the time. I forgot. I get those two mixed up. Well, let's talk a little bit about the title. Because
that was Morris Day's favorite quote, by the way.
Was it? I missed that one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Was it a gold watch?
No, Morris Day and the Time.
Oh, gotcha. We're already a little off task. I like it. I like it. That's what happens when you drink the nog. So. So the present, it not a very, I don't know, in-depth title, but I got to thinking about what it might apply to in this episode, and I actually came across quite a few things. So
yeah.
It made me a little list.
It does have, I mean, you know, it could mean, you know, something physical or a time of being, you know, so you've got that aspect of it.
Right. The time of being was the first one I put on my list, which I suppose could apply to a lot of different Flash episodes. But in this one, I think especially is relevant, and one of the reasons they probably use that as the title. So, it means today, not tomorrow, when your girlfriend is violently impaled in front of you, five months down the road there. It's good. That's why you have to embrace the presidency.
Well, right. And as Barry says, I think pretty much his last line of the episode is, there's no place I'd rather be than with you here right now, to Iris when they're checking out the new apartment.
That's right.
That he got.
And I think even though it seems that, because there's other big presents in this, but even though that it seems like that may not be what the title applies to, I actually think there's a very deep meaning in that, in enjoying the present. And even though he saw what he saw at the end of the episode, I think he really did appreciate what was happening at that particular moment in time. And
That's what Barry's been trying. I mean, that's what people have been trying to get Barry to understand for so long. He's, you know, for, you know, like 15 or 18 years or whatever, he was so fixated on the past, on his mom's death.
Yep.
That, you know, that he he spent so much time working to free his father and thinking about his mom that he wasn't focusing on himself. And then he gets these speed powers and then can do things about that. So now, you know, he even more often than not is thinking about the past and how to, you know, change things that happen there, or thinking about the future and all the bad things that might happen. And, you know, never his mind on where he was. You know, it's the, if you're not here now in the present, you know, this is where it's happening right now. And if you're not paying attention to this, you know, you're going to miss out on everything.
I agree. And then he was, you know, he was kind of obsessed about his dad's at the beginning of this season about his dad's death as well. So it always in the past. And now he gets to worry about people dying in the future. See, so
yeah,
he can flip that around. But other than that, which is a big thing, I saw a lot of other actual physical presence, like you said, like things mm-hmm. that you give to people or are given
gifts.
To people.
Yeah.
Gifts. Mm-hmm. Right. Which applies, of course, to the Christmas episode that fits really well.
Right. And that is kind of, to me, when I saw the title and, you know, saw that it was going to be their last episode before the holidays, I figured that that's probably what it was. You know, it was like a present that somebody gives to somebody else.
It was. So I want to start with the one. I don't know if this is – I hesitated to put this on there, but I think it kind of fits. Right at the beginning of the episode, Julian finds the box. The box with the Philosopher's Stone in it. And while that wasn't necessarily given to him even a gift, I thought, you know, it to him, I think that's what he really considered it to be. He thought it was going to somehow bring his sister back or he said a specific quote, something about, you know, bringing her closer to him or I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was, it was something that had to do with his sister. There's a lot of mystery to me around why he was hearing the voice, why it connected so much to his sister 4 years ago, as opposed to something that we thought was kind of happening relatively recently.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know what, and I don't know exactly why that would be, other than, you know, maybe there was a connection because of the research that he was doing. My presumption is that he wrote the papers that they were talking about what was it called? The Brahmastra, or the Brahmastra. and then he went looking specifically for it and did his Indiana Jones style thing. And so maybe, you know, it was the connection because he'd written about it that helped open him up to that connection from Savitar or something like that. I don't know.
It's like The Ring, right? Or something. You watch mm-hmm. the movie and you get this weird connection to something, or you say what, Savitar in the mirror three times,
right. You
know? Yep. And I don't know if they're, I hope they kind of go into that a little bit about what that connection is. Maybe once we learn who Savitar is and
will be,
and why everything's going, why everything's going on, we'll know a little bit more about that connection. I don't want them to leave that hanging, even though maybe it's not totally necessary to move the action forward. It kind of bothers me that there's this kind of loose end out here where 4 years ago, Julian had all this stuff going on. But
well, since stuff takes place in the future and we don't know what's going on, maybe Julian is Savitar from the future.
Yeah, that could be.
There's
it's
all circular. We all thought, of course, that he's going to be alchemy, but now the big thing will turn out that he was alchemy, but not, you know, not in the way that we thought he was alchemy.
He's not the real doctor alchemy, nurse alchemy, or something. I don't. Just the assistant.
Candy Striper alchemy. But now, you know, maybe he'll end up being Savitar from the future, because that's why he's upset with Barry because maybe he thought they were friends and something happens and...
Oh, okay. All right. I can see a connection to that. That makes
Barry
sense.
Barry forsakes him or something. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, that's a good... I hadn't really considered that. All right. So let me talk about some of the other little presents that they threw in there, I think, to make this connection.
Yeah. Little or not so little.
Yeah. Well, like... Yeah, exactly. Just ones that the writers threw in to make the connection, the thread throughout the episode, so you could kind of connect with the title and that whole theme of the present. The big one at the end, which kind of shocked me, but I was pleasantly surprised, even though it happened fairly quickly after Barry was forced to resign. But so Julian shows up at the Christmas party, even though it seemed like he wasn't gonna, and gives Barry his resignation papers back. He got them from Captain Singh, and now so Barry was not ever officially resigned. So he can actually return at the police station now.
Right, which is good because he just signed a lease for a really, really, really big apartment in Central City. I can only imagine how much that was going to cost him. I was thinking he was just, Iris was going to say, how are you ever going to afford this? And he's like, well, honey, yeah, you better keep working at the, you know.
What do you mean me afford it?
I'm Star City News.
I'm the Flash. I don't get paid. You got a job. Yeah,
I figure the Flash like signs autographs or something like that. Maybe makes, you know, $20 an autograph.
I can see. Well, they're going to open Star Labs back up. Maybe you can start getting some income from tours and things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, posing for pictures and yeah, that would work. Well, that was a pretty nice big gift. Now, he really did fool me when Iris was asking him about the gift, and she said, you got me something, right? And I did think he actually forgot. I thought he was being that stereotypical man, you know, and not having anything. So I'm glad he had something up, something else up his sleeve to give to her. So that was that was a pretty good one. Of course, it's going to end up not being good because you can't keep pushing the happiness on any superhero and expect their acquaintances to continue on in the future. So
yeah.
Whether she gets, you know, a love hug from Savitar in the future or they just break up, I'm sure something's going to happen that's going to mess this whole thing up. So, well, hey, you know, since we're talking about Barry's gift to Iris, Iris got him a gift too, right?
Oh yeah. We didn't actually see it. We just heard about it.
Yeah. Right. She got him a wallet. So, from Amazon, you know.
It was a really nice wallet.
On Black Friday. It was like $5. But hey, it's a present, so it goes on the list.
So, are they going to call it Kid Flash? Is that what they're going to call the wallet?
Yeah. Yep. That's the Wally? Wallet West. Speaking of Kid Flash... They gave him his suit. So now I'm just thinking that they didn't want him to use his powers because they wanted to wait till Christmas till he had his suit.
So they could give him the suit.
No, you can't use your powers. Why can't I use my powers? Because you don't have your present yet.
Ruined the surprise.
So now, all right, so let's talk a little bit about this little suit that clearly needs to be worn a little bit to stretch the leather, kind of make it a little more flexible, you know, right after you get your jeans out of the mm-hmm. wash, you know, and you got to stretch them out again. And
well, they got some Armor All that they gave him in a separate box, and so, you know, every couple days he's just got to, you know, spray it on and wipe it down, make sure to keep it all you know, so it doesn't crack and everything.
That's right. You just keep rubbing it with Vaseline and things. That'll do it. So but that's pretty a pretty big gift to give Wally. Now, does this mean that they're okay that he starts superheroing now?
It did seem like they moved from, oh my gosh, no, you cannot absolutely do this. Jesus, HR, why are you letting him do this? To, hey, look what we got you. Though I think there was a tease. It was either last week during the crossover episodes or the week before where they teased something about Cisco should not be talking to him about getting him a costume or a suit. And Cisco kind of was like, yeah, okay, uh-huh. Where it seemed like he already, you know, kind of was into doing that. But
right.
Yeah, it was a pretty quick transition, I thought.
It was a quick transition, but I still think that at least now we can kind of move past in the story of everybody giving Wally a hard time about going out there and doing stuff. So now I think he can officially be training, although I think HR is probably going to still be helping him train, just because that seemed like a dynamic that was working out pretty well. They seem to encourage each other.
Although it's one of those dangerous kind of Beavis and Butthead relationships, I feel. They're those people that, you know, encourage each other, but it's not really in a positive way. I mean, it's, you know, obviously my issue with the whole thing is your guest. I mean, regardless of like who HR really is or anything having to do with that, you're a guest and, you know, you're staying with these people, wherever he is staying, I'm guessing at Star Labs, and there's this kid and he really wants to do something, but, you know, his father has told you explicitly, please don't, you know, this is my wish for my son. And I mean, for me as a parent, you know, when someone says, well, this is the way I want to raise my kid, you know, you either agree with it or you don't agree with it. And if you don't agree with it, then just stop hanging out around them because, you know, you may end up doing something that they don't want you to do. You know, like, please don't show my kid Star Wars. It's like, oh, well, I'm sorry. We just can't be friends. You know, he's just really disrespectful, I guess, is my problem. And the encouragement that Wally heaps on him and he heaps on Wally, it's just kind of a negative feedback loop kind of thing.
I agree with you. And I also agree with the whole disrespect thing, but that is who he is as a character. And he's shown time and again that he just kind of keeps going even when they don't want him to.
Right.
But I will also, you know, kind of point out that, there has been times when he's had been having discussions, especially with Joe, that he kind of is getting through to Joe. You know, he's kind of helping Joe look past his personal feelings and emotions, especially about Wally, and helping Joe realize that maybe Joe's being a little bit too strict with his parenting, you know? And the time that I was thinking of this specifically was when they were sitting in the car doing a little scouting, watching, this was a couple weeks ago, I guess, when they were making sure that, I don't even remember who they were watching out for.
Shade. I think it was Shade, right?
Oh, right.
Might have been. No, or it was the episode before that. So it might have been Magenta.
Well, they were watching for some. No, I think that was when they were looking for Caitlin, when Caitlin was stalking some people and trying to find Savitar, trying to find Alchemy. But but either way, that was – so he was kind of getting through to Joe. So what, you know, why would they keep letting him hang around? Why would they keep letting him do this? I think partially it's because they know maybe they were being a little too hard on Wally or holding back Wally a little bit too much. I think kind of deep down they knew that he was going to be using his powers to be a hero at some point. And so that's why I think they kind of let him – have a little bit of flexibility with that. But I'm with you. I mean, if somebody started doing things that I was forbidding my kid to do, I would probably be pretty upset. But there has been times in my history when somebody called me out on maybe being a little bit too harsh on my kids. Usually they were good friends and not somebody that I just am letting stay in my house from another universe.
Not just that random stranger in the mall who screams at you.
Yeah, so. No, not that guy. Not that old lady that's giving me the condescending look.
Right. So just as a quick aside here, as we're talking about this, like I'm dizzy already and we're really not even into the meat of this episode yet. Are there too many subplots going on you're talking about this and saying how Wally can move on now. And it's like, I don't really feel that we got enough, any substantial discussion about this. It was just like, people are telling Wally, don't do this. And Wally's going to train. But we only see these things for just a few seconds each episode. And it just doesn't, again, it doesn't feel substantial enough. And now, oh, they've given him his costume. And it's like, no, I mean, I still don't really feel that he's ready to, officially trained. I mean, it's just, you know,
I see
don't
what you're saying. I see it.
There's so much stuff that they are only being able to focus on any subplot for just so brief.
I could see how they would do this a little bit differently, you know, and focus maybe one whole episode on Wally and his relationship with his family and getting his powers and not spending any time on Savitar and Alchemy, so they can really focus on that, you know, as a thematic element of an entire episode. But I can kind of see what you're saying with that. I think everything that they're doing in these episodes, these little subplots, I think are necessary for whatever their ultimate end game is here at the end of the season, or, you know, close to the end of the season. But maybe they're kind of, I think Arrow has done this in the past with flashbacks, you know, where they didn't put enough meat in each episode's flashback, and then you felt a little bit wanting by the end of that episode. And I can feel that with Wally a little bit.
Or over a series of episodes, because it's just like they're moving stuff forward, but I only feel that it's the writers who are moving stuff forward. You know, it's I don't feel that the character is ready to move on. And that was some of the complaints I had last season with Arrow, is that the you know, it felt like it was the producers and the writers saying, hey, we need to get this character to be at this place by this episode. And, you know, it's up to all the writers in all the previous episodes to be able to put a little piece in. But everybody's just throwing – that's the thing. Everybody's only throwing a little piece in, and those little pieces are not substantial enough, you know, as you would have, like you as you described, if you were to do a more concentrated episode on a particular character or something like that. So.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. So I can see how it all ties together, and since I'm kind of really into it, I can make that work. But so anyway, real quick, hey, let's finish up the presence. Now, I thought Jay, not you, Jay Garrick, being in this episode so much was a present to me, first of all, because I really enjoyed him being in there. I really would like to see him come back more often. They don't need to come back every episode, but I like him being there, and especially being able to give him his sage advice with everything. And he seemed to have some knowledge about Savitar, so that was kind of nice to see somebody with some experience being able to share
that. I will add, and I thought, you know, and he's filling the role of mentor, senior citizen, whatever it is that Barry said. But part of me, you know, and kind of the role of his dad, right? Because it's, you know, it looks just like his dad, which has got to be really weird for Barry. I felt there was something weird about this. Just I just have this weird inkling that Jay is not being completely truthful about what he knows in regards to alchemy. It seemed like, you know, it's like, oh, it's that speedster myth that everyone hears about, but I've never met him. And Barry's like, he came talk to me. And it's like, really? So I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading too much into that, but.
I didn't really think about it when I watched that. I'm going to have to kind of keep an eye on that. Maybe he does know more. It's interesting that he knew so much about Savitar, and yet he's never seen him in anything. So so maybe that does mean something. Well, and finally, the other present would be that. Don't tell him this, but I bought HR a coffee press.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
Yeah,
well, I don't know that he needs it. I mean, I understand he likes coffee, but I think we need to get him onto some decaf.
Yeah. Did you realize he was a coffee drinker? I didn't know if anybody knew that, but
they mentioned it in one or all of the episodes,
multiple times.
Yeah, per episode.
All right. Well, let's get into some of the other aspects of this episode.
Sure.
And Barry was told once again that he is not a god. So I
don't know that they mentioned that in this particular episode, but that was what, you know, that's we got that over the last two or three episodes, right? There had been discussion about this.
Yeah, Iris, I think Oliver mentioned it. And Jay didn't say that specifically. Was he just sort of
I don't believe
reminding?
Jay said that specifically.
Okay.
Right. But I got the sense of that. And you know what? This is one of those weird things that you watch. I'm glad, this is why I watched the episode multiple times, because sometimes what you think is going on is not necessarily what's going on. And of course, you know, once you see the end of the episode and then you watch it again, you know, you kind of understand where things are going. But The first time I watched it, subtitles weren't working on my local station. Like, all the other stations had subtitles going. I was flipping stations like, what is going on? But CW on Tuesday night, for whatever reason, wasn't broadcasting subtitles. So I'm a little hard of hearing sometimes, which is why I like using the subtitles. But there was a line, and the reason I put this in the notes is because I thought that people kept telling Barry he's not a god. So I wrote that I'll show them. So future Barry becomes a god. And here's what I thought was going on, because I was confused when Savitar, through Julian, said the line, I am the future Flash, because I thought he said, I am the future Flash, meaning I am Flash from the future, meaning AKA Savitar is Barry Allen in the future, which I was like, what? This is totally trippy, which actually, now that I kind of understand that there's a comma there, that he is the future Flash.
Commas, they save lives. I've heard that.
They do. They really do. I'm a little disappointed, because I thought, wow, that's a really interesting way to go, to make the villain of your season your hero. But what it turns out, it seems like, based on what Savitar was telling him and what Jay and Barry figured out, is that Barry Allen from the future trapped Savitar in eternity, and, you know, into this, I'm guessing, into the stone in some way. So it's, that's where I was going with this. And, you know, obviously it's, that's not what they were talking about in the episode, but boy, it really makes you wonder. That's, you know, just the way that line was phrased too.
Yeah. Well, even with the comma, that's still ominous and mysterious. You know, I am the future. So what's going to happen in the future? How far in the future? What did he, you know, throw him in the Speed Force and then he was, you know, thrown in the distant past and got buried long ago, and that until Julian found him? Or, you know, how did all that come down? So even with that, that line is still kind of creepy, even without the
right,
comma. Even with the comma.
Right. And well, with him being the, you know, the mythological first speedster meta, I got a vibe also of Apocalypse from the X-Men movies, you know, from the X-Men universe and stuff like this, with, you know, where he's like the first mutant. So, and the fact that, you know, everything in the episode or in the series revolves around time. Like, time travel was very quickly an important element from the get-go, because we had Eobard, you know, going back in time to murder Barry's mom. So, you know, now we see that there's this character who's the first speedster, and he lives inside the stone, and that gets thrown into the Speed Force, which, you know, can merge with the time stream and stuff like that. So who's not saying that Barry and Jay throw the stone into the distant past where the character is born, travels to the future? You know, I mean, I think, it, like I said earlier, it's kind of this whole cyclical thing that Savitar is always there. And of course, Barry is going to be responsible for creating him because of what he's done. You know, I think that's,
are you still on the, in the camp that Savitar is someone that Barry knows? Whether it's Barry, Wally, or something, or is this just somebody new that Barry has really irritated in the future?
I think it's somebody new. Actually, based on what I said earlier, I'm now really, I'm rapidly accepting this Julian idea that I mentioned earlier. The fact that maybe in the future, Julian becomes Savitar, and again, he finds himself, and that's why he can talk to himself originally. Though that doesn't necessarily explain the whole why Sisko was picked, other than the fact that was close.
Well, no. That does explain it a little bit. What my question from before is, why it happened 4 years ago? So it happened, you know, when Julian was at a time that he needed to find the stone, and he was able to find the stone and had motivation to find the stone because of his sister. And then he mm-hmm. just did the same thing, used the same technique on Sisko when he was trapped in the stone. So that was just more of a convenience thing because Sisko had it and needed it. So I think that still fits your idea. I'm kind of leaning that way too.
And you're saying that though, but in the 4 years ago, like why did it only happen 4 years ago and not like before that?
Yeah. What I'm saying is that if it is Julian,
only threw the stone 4 years ago.
Well,
when he threw it in the Speed Force, maybe only went back 4 years.
Maybe that's possible, or it could have gone a lot longer than that. But maybe if Savitar is future Julian, then Savitar knew when would be a good time for Julian to actually find that box with the stone in it. So he picked that moment in time, which happened to be 4 years ago when Julian had the money and the motivation because of his sister. So he picked that to start calling it Julian in that time period on the timeline.
Well, Jay did mention, this is another interesting thing that Jay said to Barry. At one point he says, "It's you know, don't worry about it. The answers usually come in time."
Ooh, that stood out
to me, of course,
too.
Just the way that John Wesley Shipp delivers it, he seems to emphasize in time a little bit, you know, not as in, you know, good things come to he who waits, but like, you know, in time travel, things happen.
That's true. I liked that. I liked that line. That stood out to me as well. And it seemed to kind of have a double meaning. So I think it definitely was. I found it interesting. Let's see. Do I want to mention this now? I guess so. Yeah, sure. I found it interesting that when Barry kind of got blasted into the future, I guess, when they threw the stone into the time stream.
Right.
Or into the Speed Force, that Jay was able to find him and go and grab him real quick right at that moment. Because it didn't appear as if Jay had also been blasted into the future, but
right.
Jay
seems to have, you know, because he is an older speedster, he doesn't seem to really do too much. Like he seems like he was stopping the trickster. Though if it weren't for Barry, I feel like he would have died. You know, that bomb was kind of pretty quick and Jay didn't seem like he was doing anything, but, he was able to jump through the time stream and grab Barry in the season premiere and, you know, knock him into 1991 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it seems like Jay is able to, either because he's just experienced or there's something else going on with him, he just seems to be able to know what's going on when speedsters are doing things around him. Like he has this speedster sense or something.
Yeah.
Like
well, he's, I like the fact that he's kind of a older and very wise speedster. And it harkens back to some of the comic characters that Barry Allen and Wally West have dealt with in those stories. And Jay Garrick is one of those. But also you've got Johnny Quick, your Max Mercury, especially, during the Wally era, it was a big time mentor to speedsters, to Wally himself, but then also later on to Bart Allen, who became Impulse. I always kind of liked that they had sort of an elder speedster mentor, and I think that's what the role Jay is playing in the TV show, and I think it works really well, especially with John Wesley Shipp being that.
Yeah, I agree, and as long as they. You know, last year I was talking about how I was going to be upset if they made Jay Garrick a bad guy, and they did, but it wasn't really Jay Garrick. I'm going to say again this season, if they make Jay Garrick a bad guy or, you know, have, you know, bad things that he is trying to do, I'm going to be really upset. I don't want them to do anything to sully John Wesley Shipp's role on the show.
Yeah, I would be even more upset than I would have last season or than I was when I first thought they made Jay bad because it's John Wesley Shipp and because of how they've shown this character so far I think the fan base would be up in arms
if they were to do that, I would have to send a strongly, strongly worded tweet, and it would not be pretty.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
Sorry, Mr. Berlanti. I apologize in advance.
All right. Well, let's see. You know, I want you to mention this real quick because that was kind of interesting. That hadn't occurred to me here. So we're talking about Savitar, tell me your thought about when he's coming to kill Wally in the Flash.
Right. So, you know, he's the god of motion. He's the Hindu god of speed. And Wally tries to run at him, and he's so fast, like, you don't even see him just grab Wally, you know, and other people can't see him because he moves so fast. Yet he walks really slowly down the hall, scraping his, you know, claws like Freddy Krueger.
Well, he's also practicing to be the god of showmanship, you know.
He is. It's like WWE here. But, I mean, if it's if you're the god of speed, you don't have to prove how slow you can be. You know, it's all about speed.
I still have a feeling that Savitar is really not as fast as he is presenting himself. That there's something else going on, like a little trick, a little something that where maybe he can only go fast for a certain amount of time. I'm not explaining that particular scene from that. I think that all was for dramatic tension. But I still think, you know, those things that look like the Speed Force tubes or boom tubes or whatever you want to call them when he's running, I just think is a result of the mega speed that he seems to have. I think there's something else going on there. Also, I want to point out that I really, really enjoyed and went back and watched it 4 or 5 times, the scene where he and Jay are fighting, or I guess where Jay's getting his butt kicked.
Jay's getting his butt kicked.
But some
slammed
really,
into things.
Some really phenomenal effects there. My wife
was really worried about the old man that was getting beat up.
I was too.
He's not that old. I mean, he's only like 10 years older than we are.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to move on. Now he made a little proclamation, right? Julian, mm-hmm. he spoke to everybody and said he knew them. That was creepy. I actually think him speaking through Julian was creepier than the actual Savitar is.
Can I just say, while you're mentioning that, Tom Felton, I thought, even though I know that wasn't Tom's voice, I just thought the way that he presented himself in that entire sequence, he did such a good job of being, you know, possessed by Savitar there. So
the close-ups especially, I was really watching his mouth and how much they matched, and it was perfect. It was great. And then when he came out of it, he went snapped completely back into, you know, Julian character. That was good. So real quickly here, he says, "One shall betray you." Ooh. Now I'm assuming they haven't talked about anything that's happened yet, like Caitlin.
Right. I mean, it sounds like all this stuff is in the future. The next part, one where it says one shall fall, and we see Iris get stabbed at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's the one he meant. But
see, here's the thing: these writers are clever. They think they're clever, but I see through them because. I am a
they're clever, but not more clever than you, right?
They are not. One shall fall, and then you see Iris get killed. But of course, you know, it's, oh, cool, we got that one figured out. Now we just got to figure out these other ones. But of course not. That's not what it's going to be, because they're going to figure out some way to save Iris. But, you know, time wants to happen, right? So if there's a death that's supposed to happen at that point in time, somebody else is going to need to die.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
I believe my prediction right now is that if Iris does not actually end up dying, which I know I've been predicting she's going to die, and I feel really I feel really bad about saying that, Josh, you know, because I called it.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, yeah, you totally called that. You're very excited about this.
I think HR will be the one to, you know, intervene in some fashion. And that will be, you know, this annoying character that has not had the respect for people. I think that's going to be, you know, his moment to shine. And because, you know, it'll be May sweeps at that point towards the end of the season, 5 months away. And they need to figure out a new role for Tom Cavanaugh for next season. They can't have him playing HR again, right?
Goodness,
he's got to be somebody else.
Then you bring Harry back. Then you get to have Jesse too.
Yeah, I'd rather have Harry back.
So. I'm going to make an even crazier prediction, and this isn't really based on anything except other than where they could go with it and you know how what the future of the show might look like. But I'm going to say Wally.
Okay.
And again, I don't really have any evidence or anything like that. Just kind of based on where I think they might take the show. I think it might be Wally. So that's my sort of, you know, just light prediction.
Maybe it's West has to die.
Yeah, and I also thought about Joe being the one. So as the season goes on, that certainly could change. That is a very malleable prediction. But I'm just gonna kind of put that out there right now. That is Wally, the one that shall betray you. That might be HR, and then the one that will suffer the fate worse than death. Not sure about that one either. That might be that Barry.
Yeah, I was gonna say that sounds like, you know, if all these other people are suffering and dying and stuff like that. I mean, Barry is, or maybe he's talking about Oliver. You know, we're gonna talk about that on our Green Arrow podcast this
Oliver
week,
but, suffers the fate worse than death, usually every December and sometimes also in May.
Yeah.
But
never in January through April.
No. Usually it's kind of on the upswing right around there. But at least he has a plan and he hasn't told anybody that's on the upswing. But
Yeah,
I'm not sure who suffers the fate worse than death other than Barry. It could be Joe. If Wally dies,
or even, I mean, if Iris continues to be the one that dies,
that's true too. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so, that would tear Joe apart.
Yeah. But so I don't know. I mean, we didn't get much clues other than these crazy, you know, Nostradamus predictions by I almost said Prometheus. Sorry. I'm thinking about Arrow now, but by Savitar.
Yeah.
Savitar and Prometheus. We got some wild bad guy names this season. All right. So, those are his proclamations. I want to hear what the listeners think. So I want you guys to get on Twitter or Facebook and, you know, let us know who you think is going to betray them, who's going to fall, and who is going to suffer a fate worse than death. Give us your three predictions. Your wildest predictions are fine. Or if you have evidence to back it up, that's cool too. But I want to hear what everybody else has to think.
Oh, this is like marry, kill, that other game, right?
Yeah. It is kind of like that. Yeah. So let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Oh, this will be fun.
Betray, okay. Fall,
and suffer.
Suffer. There we go. Betray, fall, and suffer. That's the game we're playing this month. You got 7 weeks. You got 7 weeks to think about these things. So let's hear it. So this is interesting cool. that you mentioned this real quick. The flashbacks that we saw from Julian were 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to what we saw on Arrow this week. Instead of having our standard 5-year flashback on Arrow, we had a 4-year flashback, and this happened to be 4 years as well. Not that we normally have flashbacks on The Flash anyway, and we're not limited to any one specific time frame, but I just thought that was kind of interesting. So that put the discovery of the Philosopher's Stone in during the time of Arrow season one, you know, what, 2 years before Flash showed up.
Yeah.
So.
So, and then also, I like this. I love that you look at these details. This is so cool. But on the Brahmastra there, paper that was written about the Brahmastra, you looked at the entire name of Julian that it was written by. So to tell me what that is.
So, yeah, we've been calling him, well, So his name's changed all over, right? Because it used to be Julian Dorn, like we talked about. That's what they were calling him during the summer. Mm-hmm. Then they've been calling him Julian Albert. And on the paper, it's listed as J. Albert Desmond. So does that mean something to you?
That's very interesting. Well, it, you know, in the comics, the character of Dr. Alchemy, his real name was Albert Desmond. And so they've had this kind of planned all along, and I'm surprised. I mean, it wasn't a huge shocker that Julian was Dr. Alchemy, but if I'd have been thinking about that a little bit more, we would have a clue kind of staring us in the face there just with the name Albert.
But that is true. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, me neither. So, well, overall, I really enjoyed this episode. There's a few things, you know. I'm not sure Savitar is the villain of choice for me, but I think it's great that it's kind of going in a few different directions, giving it another speedster that's mad at Barry from the future or another universe, you know. But hey, at least they're kind of throwing it in a few wild directions that we can still think about. So, my one big complaint on this episode is just, hey man, give us some more Trickster. Need more Mark Hamill on this.
I was loving it, and then it was over really quick, and I'm like, wait, he's not coming back, is he? Because they're dragging him off while he's screaming about what he's going to turn the Flash's hat into, which I thought was just hilarious. I feel like Mark Hamill was just kind of improvising on that entire sequence
there.
I
feel like that.
But well, yeah, it's you know, last Christmas we did get a full Trickster episode, and just seeing again him and John Wesley Shipp sharing screen time, that was amazing, and I would have liked to have prolonged that a little bit.
Me too.
Just
me too.
Well, from a fan perspective.
Hopefully, so. I wasn't as fond of the look of Earth 3 Trickster as the one that they had here, but hey, it's the Trickster.
Very jokery.
Yep. Very much so. Interesting. I think maybe the teeth really threw it off for me, but
he was wearing like some fake teeth there. It was that was a little weird.
I am glad that he's still around though. So they got to get Mark Hamill back on. I'm sure he's very busy filming episode 8 right now of Star Wars, but they need to get him back on soon. And I love that he was with John Wesley Shipp. That gave us a good chance to get those two together. All right, now I want to go through just a couple little things of feedback. We got quite a bit this week, but there was few that stood out to me, and then we get to our references here. But Paul on Facebook, he mentioned this about I think we were talking about you know, who the time wraiths and how they maybe should have been looking for Barry, right? But he said, you talked about the wraiths on this episode. Don't forget that while Barry was the one who created the Flashpoint alternate timeline, it was actually the reverse Flash who restored the timeline. So if the time wraiths were chasing anybody, they'd be chasing him.
Yeah, that's possible.
I agree with that, and I think they do. I think they constantly chase Reverse Flash. You know, I think they're always going after people that are messing with stuff. He's still messing with it if you watch Legends of Tomorrow, right?
Legends of Tomorrow, right. And he's like, why is everybody always picking on me?
But I do still think that they would probably be after Barry in some fashion, you know, just because he kind of messed some stuff up. Although maybe they're not even going to address this, but it seems like maybe he wasn't the one that messed things up as much as we originally thought. I still think that Thawne may have had something to do with some of this stuff.
And yeah, I mean, again, Thawne knew something. Barry's pissed Savitar off in the future. It's, you know, and so here's the it's an interesting point because it brings me to our the next piece of feedback, which is not something that actually was sent into us. It's a friend of mine on Facebook who posted this, and I think he may listen to the show occasionally, but I'm just going to say his last name is Bridge. So when I read this quote, that's what this is going to mean. But it says, the problem with time travel / Flashpoint style plots is that they violate Bridge's first law of plots. Quote, when anything is possible, nothing is interesting. And I have to agree with him a little bit here, because they've they've made it so open that, you know, oh, it could, you know, Savitar could be anybody, or, you know, anything can be changed about the timeline. And, you know, there's just, there's no control about stuff. It's just whatever they want to do, their rules are flexible enough that they can do it. And stuff is interesting, but it's,
I'll play the devil's advocate a little bit on this one.
Okay.
Just because I agree with that quote. I think that's very interesting and thought provoking, but I think there are certain rules that apply when they kind of time travel. And of course the White Riders can twist them and change them to what they want if they need to. But I think because they come across these rules, and one thing that would be an example of this is Flashpoint, right? He went back in time to fix everything, thought he would be happy, and then it ended up kind of really messing with things. So anything isn't possible. But it is chaos. And Barry certainly doesn't understand time travel enough to be twisting things, screwing with things, you know? And that's when I think you get the problem. So I agree with what, you know, Bridges Law says. But I do still think that there's some interesting things in it, because you find out things the same time they do. Hey, you know what? I'll go back and I'll change this. Oh, man, I messed it up. You know, so we kind of find that out at the same time they do. It's like when you are trying to fix a car and you think you have it all and it's ready and it's put together and it still doesn't work, right?
Bush parts. Yeah bush parts, man.
So. And then I just want to mention one other thing because she sent us a message about this. And a few months ago, we talked about this Easter egg that we were told was in every episode where the police station showed up, of this duck that was sitting in the thing. And I've been looking for it, and so has Samantha, and she sent us a message on Facebook that said, hey, you know, I still can't find the duck Easter egg.
Yeah.
I can't either. Now I'm thinking they're sending us on a wild duck chase.
Yeah. We are goose-free, duck-free. So
goose-free, hopefully. So anyway, yeah, I'll keep looking, Samantha, and if we find it, I'll let you know, or if anybody else out there finds it, just tell us.
But. Yeah, if anyone ever sees a duck in the police station, please, please let us know, because I find myself, you know, focusing on the background and looking at people walking by, and it's like, oh, wait, was Joe and Cecile saying something? I need to rewind and rewatch this now. So
you're looking for the duck. Is there a way to get us to watch it more than once? Okay, so
yeah, it's clever, clever. There will probably be reruns during the hiatus here, so yeah, there you go.
Okay, we can go back and look for the duck. That's all I'm looking for. Since I've already seen the episodes, I'll look for the duck. Want to run through a couple of references? A lot of just pop culture references, but of course, we want to make sure that we put those on the reference list that we have. We'll kind of flip flop on these, but. The first one, you know, Julian really did seem like Indiana Jones. Well, the setting, I'm not sure that he was quite Indiana Jones.
it did seem a little bit like the end of Raiders when they open the Ark and all that kind of stuff.
Indiana Jones would know better than to open that box. I'll just say that. How about that? Like a,
right.
Like a you know, minor league Indiana Jones, I guess. But
right. Like Mutt. like Indiana Jones 4, that would have happened in Indiana Jones 4.
There you go. He was the Shia LaBeouf of Flash.
When Barry goes to the future, he ends up on Infantino Street in Central City, named after Carmine Infantino, who is a legendary Flash artist, creator of Iris West, and also the artist that was brought back. I think he did like the last 50 episodes or 50 issues of The Flash. Before they canceled their first series there in the early to mid 80s.
So he created Iris and they killed Iris on the street, on Infantino Street. That's poetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, you know, they mentioned the Philosopher's Stone. I even read a couple of articles on relatively well-known websites that they mentioned that the Philosopher's Stone had this, it was like an Easter egg to Tom Felton being in Harry Potter. But actually, the Philosopher's Stone is what Dr. Alchemy used in the comics. That was what it was called. And in Harry Potter, the Americans would know Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone as the first novel and movie. But originally, when J.K. Rowling wrote it, it was called The Philosopher's Stone in Britain. They didn't think Americans would understand that. They were probably right.
They didn't think Americans would know what a philosopher was.
Yep, I guess.
Is that what it is?
That was a decision at some point.
Well, I will say, I mean, the Philosopher's Stone is much older than Harry Potter, as you point out. It was what Dr. Alchemy used when he was introduced in the 50s.
Like right, right.
58 or something like that, I think.
Although it kind of matched who they picked for Julian.
It's clever, yeah.
What wasn't necessarily a callback.
Right. When Barry confronted Julian at the beginning in Julian's office, I thought it was interesting. There was a newspaper article behind him. Julian had articles from the different meta attacks from the previous episodes from the season. And the one you could read, it says, "Shade withers under the flash of bright lights," which was the headline for the newspaper article. I thought that was, and it was funny because it was normal newsprint title size, except for the word flash, which was all caps, you know, to say that we're making a joke here.
We're going back to the 70s and 80s newspaper headlines. That's what I like to see.
Well, it's like, yeah, it was very much, National Enquirer style headline.
There you go. Over on there on Earth 3, the bank was called Fox Bank, presumably after Gardner Fox, who created Jay Garrick. And that was, that's the Earth he's hanging out on. So, makes sense.
Cool. HR used the phrase "Run, Wallace, run," very much like the "Run, Barry, run" callback to that.
I got a bad feeling about this flat on Flash, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, that's their kind of one of their signature lines, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it though. It fits. They can use it both in serious situations and dramatic situations, and then kind of funny situations like this. So.
Yes.
So then Sisko mentions that they don't want to just go bury the box with the Philosopher's Stone in it because, Jumanji. And in the movie Jumanji, and maybe the book too. Actually, it's been a while since I read that Chris Van Allsburg book. It's a picture book, a kid's picture book. But they find the Jumanji game. And it's kind of got a curse when you start playing it. You can't stop playing it. So they go and they bury it, and it kind of haunts them and comes back until you finish playing the game. So they don't want to do that with the Philosopher's Stone.
And then also when Barry goes into the future, there's a bus kiosk that's playing a news article. That seems kind of...
I thought that was much further in the future than 5 months because of that.
Yeah. It did seem like they were living in the future.
Although there are gas stations today that have like TVs that you can watch while you pump gas. They kind of drive me crazy.
The one by my house, like you can't adjust the volume and it is so freaking loud. It's so loud. It hurts. I can't stand there and pump my gas. I don't go there much anymore. So anyway, they had the news article was that the Flash had just stopped Jared Murillo, AKA Plunder, from robbing the Central City Bank or something like that. Mm. So imagine that we will be seeing the character of Plunder, played by a yet as unnamed actor, though it looks like they may have cast somebody because there was a photo, but it was kind of hard to see, but maybe we'll blow up the frame and see how well that matches the actor that they get. So we'll probably see that person showing up in April or May.
That should be coming up. So a lot of great stuff to think about in this episode. And I've had a great first half of the season talking with you about it. But now it's the holidays. I hope everybody has a great holiday season and enjoy your time with your friends and your family, and of course be thinking about the Flash and what we're going to be seeing coming up here in the future. But for now, you know what, Jay, we got to go have a mint tea, a coffee, and a lay down. So enjoy your holidays. I hope it's fun, relaxing, and trickster free.
Oh, I hope so, too. I hope you enjoy your holidays with your family. And again, to everybody out there, hopefully you guys have a happy holidays and a merry new year or something like that. That's how we say it on my earth anyway. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, please be sure to hop over to iTunes and leave us some feedback there. Give us give us 5 stars if you think we deserve that. You can also contact us like people did here. You can email us at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. You can find us on Twitter at Scarlet Velocity, where you can leave information about the Betray, Fall, Suffer predictions that we were talking about earlier, or over at our Facebook page and either post there or send us a message at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
And you can also check out our other shows that we do, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which both had their mid-season finales this week as well. So lots to think about on those shows. You can find those at randomchatter.com. So go over there and check out that website for those shows and other great shows as well. Also, you can check them out on iTunes, of course, and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please share it with everybody. Share it with all your friends. Go to your comic book store. Share it with your family while you're sitting down for Christmas dinner. That's cool, too. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Run, Josh, run!
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.